Hi, this is Rabbi Moskowitz. Okay.
Hello.
We are Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, 23. And it reads like this. The desire of the tzaddikim are only for good. The hopes of Rishoim is anger. Once again, the desire of the tzaddikim are only for good. The hopes of the Rishoim is anger. Are there any questions on the Pasuk?
Yeah.
Sorry, what Pasuk are you on?
It's chapter 11, verse 23.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's the question?
Okay, what does good mean in this case, I'd say? And also for the Rashaim, what does that mean? Their hope is anger. Why would they hope for that?
Okay. The first question should be the hopes of the Rishoim is anger, right? It should read the hopes of Rishoim is evil. That's correct. Now, whatever for anger is, then we'll figure out what it means for good. Okay? There's two ways. The good could go in two ways. It could go either for other people, or it could be for himself good. All it says are only for good. Now, sometimes the only way you could to save on words, so he'll write something in one half of the pasuk, and based on that idea of the that pasuk, then you could understand the other half. So the question is, the hopes of Rishoim should be for evil, not anger. What does it mean, anger? That is correct. And the desire of the tzaddikim are only for good. We don't know yet.
Also, just a technical question: is tikva the same thing as tava? Is the hope the same thing as the desire?
There are commentaries that deal with that, mainly the Malbim. He deals with the particular words. Most of the Mefarshim don't bother. You follow most of the Mefarshim. In other words, I look for the idea, and if the Pasuk is not complete, okay, I'm more interested in the idea than making sure the pasuk works out every single word. It's how your mind works. If your mind works that you want to work out the pasuk, so then you're going to have to use the Malbim more often and work that way. But however, I found that to me, when I try to work out every word in the pasuk, it's like a burden. Like an extra burden, and I would have done it if I saw the gain, but I didn't see the gain because once I see the idea, I'm happy. I mean, every once in a while, I see that, so I'll give the difference if I see a possibility, but I wouldn't spend too much time on it. That's the way my mind works. I'm not saying you should do it that way. I'm saying you got to see the way your mind works. Are you just more interested in the idea? Like most of the Mefarshim, they seem to be just interested in the idea. So they don't go into the details once they have the idea. The Malbim was more interested in working out the pasuk. You got to see how your mind works and what you desire. Does that answer your question?
If I answer my question, you mean say we're not taking up the question, then yes.
Okay, good. But that's a universal. That's not on the pasuk. I mean, if we see that there is a difference, fine, but I'm not going to spend that much time on it. The main thing is I want to get what he's telling me, what he's teaching me. I want to see the idea. So we have two questions. The second half should say for evil, not anger. What does it mean, anger? Yeah, definitely the Russia doesn't strive for anger. What does the first half mean? We don't know yet. What is only good? We don't know. So that's basically all the questions. I have three questions, because I have the second, when I was reading it first, I saw the second half should say for evil, and then I asked the question, the Rishonim hope for success but not anger. So we already explained it. I put it into three questions, but it comes out in the two questions that you ask. Are there any other questions? Either in methodology, it could be either in methodology, or in, like that was asked before, or on the Pasuk.
Yeah, methodology. Why do you want to go to anger before and say Tov will be the opposite of that, as opposed to just defining Tov first and then putting anger as the opposite of that? Why? What makes you go to the Russia, define the Russia first?
I didn't go that way at first until I read the Ralbag. In other words, what I do, the way I do it, is I look at the pasuk and try and get all the questions. Okay? Then I look for a pirush that answers some of the questions. I very rarely find a pirush that answers all the questions. So I look for a pirush that answers my questions. This time I found the Ralbag that seems to answer the questions. He answers two of the three anyway. Okay?
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, I mean, that's the way I operate, I'm just telling you. There are probably other ways of operating, I mean, of learning Mishlei, but that's the way I operate. First thing is I go for the questions. Then I look for the pirush that's closest to answering the questions, and usually, not all the time, sometimes I find a pirush that doesn't, no pirush that answers any of my questions. Then I'm in trouble. Then I have to decide if I want to answer it on my own or leave it and move on. So that's insofar as methodology is concerned. So this time I found the Ralbag, which I will read to you part of it anyway, what is we need. That is this. The Ralbach says, I'll just do the English. First he goes in, he talks about the tzaddik, and then he says, however, the wicked hope for their ultimate goal, and that which they have intention to, and that is anger. He says, chema ve'evra. Many times, the way a pirush translates a word, he says the word and a synonym. He says them together. So then you know he's translating the word, and he has the word chema here, so he's translating evra. So he says, chema ve'evra, anger. Because they constantly strive to do what is evil. And you must explain this, and he says, on the view of metaphor of a shir, of a psalm or a song. What does he mean by a metaphor of a song? Sometimes there's things that are written for metaphors. He says, this is written as a metaphor, and I would like to use the word sarcasm. In other words, he's saying a sarcastic thing. Okay? He says, because each one of them reach what they hope for. Because the tzaddik searches for the ultimate good in everything he does. And therefore, God gives him his reward that he reaches the good of the soul. And so the good is not for other people, the Pasuk, according to the Ralbag, but the Pasuk is talking about his soul, that the ultimate good is his soul. Where did he get it from? He says, and then he continues, he says, the wicked seek the ultimate evil in all that they do. Therefore, they reach evil for themselves. So the second half of the verse, what says that he's looking for the good and the wicked is looking for harm, it's to themselves things that they don't notice. It's a consequence to themselves. One is a good consequence and one is a bad consequence to themselves. Okay? Now we have to explain how these two things work, how they get, how it happens. Okay? But that is the setup that the Ralbag sets up. So at least we have a good first step for our questions. Because it said, what?
Yeah, what do you mean, the sarcasm? I didn't catch that point.
In other words, the hopes of the Russia's anger, meaning not that he wants it, but he gets it. He really wants evil, like we said in the question. In his mind, he wants evil. But what he gets for his evil, what he gets for his evil, he gets anger. What he gets for himself, it's something he doesn't notice, but he gets his anger for himself. And the tzaddik gets some type of good for himself. The Ralbag doesn't explain exactly how it works that he leaves for us. Do you follow what I'm saying? And do you understand what the next step is so you could look for it yourself?
I follow what you're saying. I'm not sure what you mean, what the next step is.
The next step would be to understand what is the good exactly, how he gets it. What is the anger? How does he get it? I mean, the Ralbag says it, and he helps us out by taking that step, but I still don't understand the pasuk. That's what would be where I have to go now to explain how it works.
Right, okay.
Okay, so take a minute and think to see if you want to take that step. If you can't take that step. I think to take the next step, you have to decide what is anger.
Well, generally, isn't anger when your desires are in conflict with what you can actually acquire?
Yes. In other words, you have a certain desire. You have a certain desire, but you can't get it. Okay? So there must be a desire that the tyrant has that he doesn't get. And the question is, what does he want? What does he want? And what does he get? That would be the next question. To produce the anger, he must have a certain desire, and that desire must be stymied, stopped at some point. And that's where the anger comes out. So we have to know what his desire is, and where he gets caught in it.
Okay, the sarcasm is that, maybe that gives us a clue, maybe that's, I guess whatever he sees that's the good is really, produces anger. So it must be something that he just himself evaluates as the good based on his own,
Yeah, right. So he has a some good, right, that he thinks is good. He wants some. He has a desire. He has some type of desire. They use the word hopes here. I interchange them, okay? But he has a certain desire where that desire will be stopped. Now, you have to think of a tyrant. What does a tyrant want?
I mean, power, generally.
Power, good, very good. He wants power. What does power mean?
Control over everything.
Control over people. Okay, he wants to control people. Okay? So he's caught, the act is a contradictory act. This is just the first step. It's a contradictory act because he feels power when he controls somebody else. Is that correct? That means he's dependent on that person to obey him. In other words, the tyrant doesn't realize that he's not independent. He's dependent on all the people that are dependent on him. There was somebody that was at a job that had somebody had that personality. And I told him, just realize that that person needs you more than you need him. So that made him, I mean, he's still in a bad situation, but at least he's able to think it through, you know what I mean, to recognize something weak, okay? Now, so every time the tyrant stops, orders you to do something and you do it, that gives him satisfaction. That's an addiction. It's like any other addiction. I mean, the physical addictions is smoking, let's say, you know what I mean, or drugs. But the thing is, there are psychological addictions where you fool yourself and you think you're independent because you're in control. That say, look, I'm a great guy because I'm in total control. It really says that you're addicted to somebody else. So that other person, you need that other person more than you. But he is satisfied. That is not the conflict. Now, since he's never really satisfied, in reality, it's an addiction. He's going to have to come back to it. He will meet a person that stands up to him. Okay? There's one beautiful example. Haman had control of the whole country, except for Ahasuerush. He was under Ahasuerush, but Ahasuerush gave him all the power. There was only one person that didn't bow down to him, and it absolutely drove him crazy. One person, and it drove him crazy. That is the area. By the way, I know Rabbi Chait one time gave a shiur on the psychological reason how that works. I don't remember the answer, but he has it someplace on the Megillah tapes. But the thing is that we don't need the psychology of it. What we need is to show the consequence and what causes the consequence, because Mishlei is dealing with consequences. Okay, so the thing is, since he's always looking for more and more power, there's always going to be a person. There's going to be some person that stands up to him, and then he will. That's how he suffers. That takes care of why the pasuk says, the hopes of the Russia, the hopes of the wicked is anger. Because there will be a situation where there will be anger. Because he can't stop. It's an addiction. Can't stop. Got to move on and on. You could smoke as many cigarettes as you want. You'll never be satisfied. Once you're addicted, you're satisfied for the moment. Could satisfy yourself for the moment, then he can satisfy himself for the moment too. But there will be a point where he can't have it.
Is that just an idea in probabilities? Is that just by probability there's going to be some point in which there's going to be a person he can't control?
I don't think it's probability. Since he has to go and do it, you know, I don't know if you know these type of people that have they always are looking for more power, and they'll always find, I mean, unless they don't live, if they only live for a short period. But if they're going to live a life, they will reach a point where they're going to hit this thing. It's not if, it's just when.
Why do you say that the evil is necessarily a tyrant? Like, can it be any person that has a goal that's not going to be, you know, that's going to be frustrated?
Yeah, I understand, but the thing is that I don't know. I was talking with somebody today, and it's not 100% clear what the definition of Russia is. To me, Russia means tyrant, but I could be wrong. I don't know. I'm investigating. So I can't really answer your question completely. At this point. Okay, are we clear with the Russia? All right, if you have any questions about this, we could come back to it later. But now we have to see, answer the next question, what is only good for the tzaddik, and it has to be good for the tzaddik. Okay, it's right now, it's a very important point about a tzaddik. You have to understand there's a difference between a tzaddik in halacha and a tzaddik in mishle. Okay? In halacha, you could do justice, if you keep halacha, basically you'll do acts of justice, and you'll do acts of kindness, even though your personality is not there. But insofar as halacha is concerned, you're a tzaddik and you're a bal chesed, insofar as halacha is concerned, because you're doing the acts. But however, mishle is interested in a personality development. And the personality development is first you become a chacham. Chacham means that I look at the consequences of all things I do. For example, you're light skin and you go out in the sun for the first day of summer and you get a burn. So that's the consequences. That's what the Chacham, his personality is, where he thinks in terms of consequences. That's the way he thinks. Okay? But but he does not think in terms of society. He might do acts of kindness based on halacha, but insofar as society is concerned, he doesn't take them into consideration. The tzaddik, on the other hand, he takes into consideration the consequences that come from the society not working well. Okay? So his personality has developed. You must be a chacham first, and then you become a tzaddik. If a tzaddik takes in more, he takes in the society at large. He takes in the society at large so that it's a different personality.
Are there consequences for the tzaddik that the society works well? If not, why?
Yeah, there are? There are consequences. What?
Are there consequences to the tzaddik if the society works well or works poorly? What are the consequences?
Oh, well, the consequences is that if the society doesn't work well, it will affect you. In other words, let me tell you what I think one of the essential qualities of a tzaddik is. He feels part and parcel of the system. You understand? He feels part and parcel of the system. In other words, we operate that, let's say I'm a tzaddik of halacha, just halacha. So I operate outside, my mind is I'm an individual, and I don't see myself as part of the system. I see myself outside the system. You see? And I see myself outside the system, but I'm doing for the system. A tzaddik feels part and parcel of the system. He recognizes psychologically, not just, I'm telling you this idea so you could see it. So you know it, but it's not who you are. That takes development. He actually experiences as being part and parcel of the system. He recognizes he's not all, in other words, to be a tzaddik, to be a chacham or a tzaddik, there's a certain amount of humility. The humility is that I recognize that I'm part of a system. Chacham feels part of the system of the laws of nature insofar as consequences are concerned. He might not know physics, but he understands the laws of nature insofar as consequences, and he feels part of that system. Well, the tzaddik feels part and parcel of the society.
But the reason he still avoids doing these things is because of the consequences of his actions, right?
There will be consequences if the society doesn't work well. He sees, I could show you how if the system doesn't work well, what's bad for you. You understand? You could see it yourself and look around in the United States. A lot of things are not working well. And you see the consequences. But that doesn't mean, but you still look at life emotionally. And you, now that you know this idea, doesn't mean you're a part of it, that you recognize that you're part of society. You know it, but it's not a part of you. It's not psychologically a part of you. Didn't affect you in your personality. That's a development from Chacham to Tzaddik. Is that clear?
I think so.
Okay. Now, so what happens to what is the good for the tzaddik? That since he is part and parcel of the system, you see, so when he benefits the system, it is really affecting him. In other words, if I look at life that I'm outside the system, that I'm not part of the system, I don't see that. It's very nice. The system works good, but I don't experience how it relates to me. You understand? I might see the benefits and I might see how I get a benefit. I could understand it, but I don't experience it.
Could you give an example of this phenomenon?
What?
Could you give an example of what you mean by, an example of what it means to recognize society or that you're part of society?
Right. I don't know if the stock market is going to continue working well, but pretty much today, any stock you buy, you're going to make money on. I don't know for how long it's going to last, but that's because the stock market is working. But if one person is caught cheating, somebody really big in the business, a bank or something, then the whole stock market is affected. So when the society is working well, so then You could make money. You could have a living. You don't have to be frightened yet if the package is going to be delivered that some jerk is following the truck, especially people are sending presents, and he picks them up. Like you have to run out to get it right away because somebody's going to steal it. Like it affects you. Just think of all the things you have to protect yourself that 20 years ago you didn't have to protect yourself. I don't know if there's any place in the country now that you could walk out and leave your door open or unlocked and not worry. Years ago, there were places you walked out. Who cares? Nobody's going to come in. It's depending how the society is working. It affects you in a lot of different ways. I'm sure you could find more ways than I found.
So a chacham wouldn't see the idea about the stock market, and he might cheat in his stock?
He knows. No, he's not going to cheat. A chacham is not going to cheat, but he doesn't experience it. In other words, he might feel outside the system, but he's not a... Somebody said that since a tzaddik recognizes that he's part of the system, so if you want to define a Russia, like before you were asking about a Russia, so he says, so define the Russia that he's outside the system, that would fit in. So I said, then you're going to have to call a chacham a Russia. Because he's outside the system of society. So the thing is that... you have to be very careful the difference between a tzaddik of halacha, that he does the actions, he does correct actions, and it'll benefit society, and it'll benefit him, but he doesn't know what he's doing. He's just following the halacha. He has no idea why. Well, there are a lot of benefits in halacha. I'm just saying this is one of the benefits. You might know it or you might not know this benefit, but it's one of the benefits of keeping halacha. But if you're going to change your personality, that's a different ballpark. Then you have to be a chacham, and then you have to be a tzaddik. I mean, if you reach the level, not everybody reaches the level of a tzaddik. Is that clear?
Yeah.
So are you saying that the chacham only sees the benefit to his own life?
No, he doesn't see that. We have to define what he sees. I realize that, but we have to define the subject. But first I have to answer all the questions. But to answer your question... we have to define the subject of the pasuk. So I think we answered all the questions. Right? So now, if I asked you, if I ask you what is the subject, what would you say? That's the next step. I want to say, you need more time?
Wait, before we get to the step, did we say what the tov is, though? What is he hoping for? What does he want? The good of the society, we said?
He gets, in other words, when his intention, just like the Russia, his intention is to do evil, but he gets this side effect. So the tzaddik, even though his intention is to do good, his side effect is that he gets the benefit of what the society, he gets the benefit of the benefit when society is benefited.
So what does he want in the first place, though?
He wants justice. In his mind, he only cares about justice. He sees that justice is important.
And he doesn't want it for what you're calling the side effect of the personal benefit?
Yeah, he gets that, but he doesn't strive for that.
So
he might even know that he's getting it. But he's interested, consciously he's interested in justice.
If not for the personal benefit, why is he interested?
Why is he interested? That's a development. It's a development from being a chacham, and then as you become a chacham, somehow you reach the next step. I one time had that discussion. Do you have to work on being a tzaddik, or do you have to, or just know you're a chacham, and then somehow you get to the next step? And I remember the result of that discussion was that, no, you're a chacham. Okay? In other words, the first thing is to study Mishlei. Get the method, just get the method of studying Mishlei. Then once you get the method of studying Mishlei, after you go over pasuk after pasuk, suddenly you'll notice you think differently. Then when you think differently, suddenly you notice that you're a tzaddik. And it happens. It's not that you force it. What you force is the study of Mishlei. That's the force. You got to push yourself to study or review the psukim until it starts affecting you. Then when it affects you and you actually become a chacham, then you keep working and living as a chacham. And then naturally, at a certain point, you will either, unless you don't have the ability to develop. So people have different abilities. I don't say everybody has the ability to become a chacham. And I'm not saying everybody has the ability to become a tzaddik. All you have to do is work on it. That's what you could do. Work on pasuk after pasuk after pasuk, either new pasukim or reviewing the old, or whatever it is, and just watch what happens to you. The rest you can't force. You can only force the study of Mishlei.
But you're saying that after a certain point of development, a person just naturally begins to desire justice in and of itself?
That's right. I mean, you're studying justice. You have the knowledge of justice. You have the knowledge of the difference between halachic justice and kindness and halachic justice. Kindness is not in Mishlei. They have a few places where they talk about chesed. But basically, you first find a chesed in Tillim. Mishlei will not make you a Baal Chesed. It'll make you a Baal Chesed, like halachic chesed. You know what I mean? You'll definitely do kindness. But personality of kindness, that comes from the study of God.
I think it might just like remove the obstacles that you have towards your natural desires for justice.
I didn't follow that. I'm sorry. Could you repeat that again?
I think my theory is the way it works is that studying Mishlei removes your remove the obstacles that would get in the way of your natural desire towards justice.
It might, but I think the main important thing is that it works on the mind. Now, there's certain powerful emotions that we have that will affect our thinking process. Everybody has, that's the Yetzirah to me. You understand? So the thing is that it sneaks in there. Even fine by the Avos. I mean, it snuck in there. Certain, the difference between us and them is quantity. And that quantity makes a whole different quality. That's the difference. But they also made mistakes. We don't have saints. We have the human beings, and they make mistakes. And even the Avos made mistakes. Even Moshe Rabbeinu made a mistake. So the thing is that we always have powerful emotions that are affecting us, and we can only deal with it after we make the mistake, so we know that we have that weakness to check it out. So that's, I think that it might help, you know, general certain emotions that you could overcome, but those are weak emotions, not the very strong emotions. In other words, the very powerful emotions, I don't know if Mishle could undo that. Mishle could naturally undo, weaker emotions, or at least it'd help you to overcome. In other words, to me, a chacham is a person that does the right thing despite his emotions. So it's not undoing the emotions. Undoing the emotions, I think, is a different study. It's not Mishle. But a chacham, to me, is a person, it's not a person that doesn't have emotions, but his mind is stronger than his emotions. Not his conscience. His mind. His mind is stronger than his emotions. That's a chacham. Where you see the problem, you have the emotion to do it, a strong, powerful emotion, but it's just the mind seeing the consequence that stops you. I mean, Yosef was a Navi, and he definitely was beyond all this, you know what I mean? But when it came to his Yetzirah, he had to come down from philosophy. This I heard from Rabbi Chait. He came down from his philosophy, and he thought of his father. The thinking of his father helped him. That's his conscience. That's an emotion. He went down to the lower level of consequences. Philosophy was not strong enough in that case. So you see, you can't give this up. This is very basic, even before philosophy. The Ralbach says that you can't learn philosophy until you live the life of Mishle. Because you have to be able to conquer your emotions. It doesn't mean you don't have emotions, but philosophy is very abstract, and the emotion can sneak in there and make you come to a conclusion without you realizing it. Mishle helps you realize these things. Okay? So now the question is, what is the subject? The subject, to me, is two unintended side effects of your relationship to society. It's two unintentional side effects of your relationship to society. One is the Russia who has a life of conflict with society. Then we showed you what the conflict is. And the second one is the tzaddik. It has a benefit from his acts. One has a conflict and one has a benefit. But it's unintended side effects of your relationship to society. Is that clear? It's unintended because both of them don't make decisions based on that.
So the subject is someone in like a position of power, let's say, you know. Seems like two different ways to exert your authority. Either you do justice, and that's your main drive, or your main drive is just to control people, and you're going to be in conflict.
That's correct. And if you are a tzaddik, your main drive is to help people, and the side effect is that you get a benefit from it. It's not only that you don't get a conflict from it, you get a benefit. Now the question is, who is the pasuk talking to?
You mean like what tier of development or what kind of person?
Well, the pasuk has to be talking to a person. The question is, who is he talking to?
Well, it seems like someone who is a position of authority in some area, and he sounds...
There's only one song. What do you mean, a person in a position of authority?
I mean, either you have the ability to execute, you know, justice, let's say, or you...
Well, justice, I don't have to be an authority. I could affect society in a just way, even if I'm not a leader.
That's true.
I thought it was like to motivate the beginner, maybe.
Yeah. One thing is to motivate a beginner, you're correct, to learn Mishlei, and it could be talking to the Chacham. Because he's telling the Chacham, continue going in the way you are, then you will become a tzaddik, and you'll get the benefits of the tzaddik. So I agree with you that he could be talking to a beginner to motivate him to be a... See, the problem with the beginner, I have to motivate him to become a chacham, not a tzaddik. The question is, if I teach him about a tzaddik, is that the benefit of a tzaddik, is that a motivation for him to start learning Mishlei? Could be. But it's definitely talking to a chacham. Question is this a motivation? I don't know. I tend to agree with you, but there's still a slight doubt there whether it's, cause to get a beginner, I would talk, most people in this world are selfish. You know, I mean, they're born, well, that's human being to be born selfish. And Mishlei is not telling you not to become selfish. It's saying there are two types of selfishness. There's stupid selfishness and intelligent selfishness. And they're telling you to choose intelligent selfishness. So the thing is that I have to see a benefit to me. So to the Chacham, I see a benefit. Can this motivate a person, this pasuk in particular, motivate a person to start in the world of, but it's not as secure to me as a chacham. Okay? I have no proof. Are there any questions? Everything clear? Then we will get together again next week. Tuesday, same time, same station.
Okay. Thank you. Good.
Okay, thank you.
Rabbi, yes. I do have a question.
You go ahead.
Karen Weisstein, it's my first time signing on, and I was curious what week we're in, because it's all new to me.
I think this is the fifth or sixth, I'm not sure.
Wow.
And it's
okay.
All taped. I understand it's being taped, so you could listen to all the old ones, to this, my earlier tapes on Mishlei is not as clear. Thank God, you know, I keep developing. You know, You know, you see these teachers that the first year they write their notes and they repeat their notes every year. If I don't gain from teaching, I might as well quit.
So how do you access?
The last four or five were very good.
How do you find them? So how do you find
can somebody tell this lady how to get on? I never listen to my own tapes.
It's on ybt.org, but you have to do a search for Rabbi Moskowitz.
Okay.
ybt.org, go to the audio, and then there's
Thank you.
old stuff that's also really good on Masorah.org also goes to the audio. Not the last five. I don't think it's the last five classes here, but a lot of Rabbi Moskowitz's stuff is on Masorah.org.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Any questions? Okay.
Thank
then.
You, Rabbi.
No. Thank you.
I'll see you next week. Same time, same station.
Okay.
Take
thank
care.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.